Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media, to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So at home, and Seth was with me, and he was just doing something on the table. As a parent, like, sometimes you look at your kid and like, oh man, they look cute. I'm going to go in for a kiss, right? I'm going for a kiss. And it pulls away. And then I go in for another one. Pulls away again. And then, like, I'm really getting, like, into this. And so you go to his neck and you start to, like, nibble on his neck. And then, like, I kept on doing it. And finally, like, he looked at me. He's like, enough, I told you. Next time, like, he's about to put up his hand, right? But, like, I was clearly trying to provoke him, right? I knew he didn't want it, but, like, it was great. I enjoyed the moment as a parent, right? But I was surprised when he, like, kind of looked at me. He's like, enough, I told you. Like, when does a three-year-old, like, learn how to speak like that? But he figured it out, right? But the whole point that I'm trying to get at is that, like, everybody can be provoked, right? Sometimes, like, that was in a nice way. But we can be provoked, and we're provoked by many, many different things, right? Everybody can be provoked in one way or another. Like, as a kid growing up, you knew that if you did something, which parent would be provoked more than the other, right? You knew, like, when they figure out mom's going to act like this and dad's going to act like that, right? We knew what would provoke our parents, and we kind of played our cards accordingly. Right, as husbands, we know what provokes our wives, right? We know when we leave our shoes out and the toilet seat up, it provokes them. Wives, you know what provokes your husband. You just sprinkle the right couple words in the conversation, you know how to provoke us. Right? We know how to provoke our kids know how to provoke us. We kind of know what irks our bosses. Right? We also have things in society that really provoke us, that irritate us. Some people, like, you talk about politics, you mention a certain name, and, like, they're provoked, right? They're irritated, and they're, like, all up in arms. Or you drive by and you see, like, certain things in society that really irritate you, right? That just send a message that is, you know, so bothersome to you, and you find yourself disturbed, right? Point is, like, all of us are provoked in different ways. And, like, and the question we always have to respond or wonder is, how do I respond to being provoked? Okay, how do I respond to being provoked? And some of us envision ourselves taking swift and harsh action to correct it. Right? We could see ourselves like, ooh, if I could only do this, and I would take this person out of the picture. Or I would force this person to see it my way. Or I'm going to straighten out my kids and really show them who's in charge, right? We respond to being provoked in different ways. All right? We respond to being provoked in different ways. And sometimes we wish or we dream of having the power to being able to carry out our wishes. Right? And that'd be a dangerous world. If each one of us has the ability or the power to carry out our wishes when we're provoked, this world would be a very, very dangerous place. Right? But we envision ourselves having that amount of power, that amount of influence. But before we take matters into our own hands, before we respond when we are provoked, I want us to look with those eyes into the scripture of today. Right, here we are, second week of Lent, and it's our famous story of the temptations of Christ. And what I want us to think about this story and how I want us to approach it is, let's approach it from understanding that the one being provoked has all the power in the world. Okay? After his baptism, Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he fasted to prepare for the ministry to come. And in the 40 days, after the 40 days of fast, the Lord was tempted. And he was tempted in three ways, right? He was tempted in three ways. He was tempted with gluttony, right? Turn these stones into bread. Do something, right? Feed yourself. Your body's hungry. Do it, right? He was tempted with gluttony. He was also tempted with vain ambition. Throw yourself down. Make a scene. Let's see how important you really are. And then he was tempted with avarice, which is greed. And it's not greed only towards money. It's greed towards position and power as well, right? Kneel down to me and I'll give you all this. These were the temptations. These were the temptations. And in each one of these, the devil was trying to provoke Jesus to an action. He was tired. He was fasting. And so the devil came in. He's like, let me poke. Let me try and provoke him to respond in a certain way. Give your flesh what it wants. Make this bread. Do this dramatic display of throwing yourself off and you know, let's see how important you are as a son of God, if you are really the son of God, right? Build your power. You have a ministry ahead. To accomplish your ministry, don't you need power? Don't you need resources? In each one of them, he's trying to provoke the Lord in a certain way. And any one of us, in the place of Jesus, having fasted for 40 days, would likely be easily provoked. And if we had his power, what would we do? How would we respond to the devil? I'd like create these like massive hands that came out of heaven and just like smack them like a bug. Right? I'm done being provoked by you. Right? We would just get rid of him as a nuisance because we have the ability and the power to do it. Let's look at these words by St. Basil the Great. It said, by the word that he was, he could have easily plunged his tempter into the abyss. But he did not reveal the power of his might, but he only brought forth the precepts of Scripture. So what St. Basil is saying is that the Lord had every ability to say, be gone, Satan. Get out of here. I'm going to, confine you to the abyss. But instead of doing that, which he had the ability to do, what and how did he choose to approach the devil? With the precepts of Scripture. All right, so now the question is, what are precepts? It's kind of one of these words that you're like, oh, I hear, I kind of have an idea of what it means, but I don't really know what it means. So what is precepts? Sorry? Sort of like a motto? Okay, that's actually pretty close. What are precepts? Even with a motto, if you have a motto, you repeat the motto over and over, and in certain situations. Why? Because you want the motto to do what to you? Huh? Okay, it kind of establishes a foundation, but you want a motto, okay, to help dictate how you act. All right, so let's look at precepts. Let's give it a definition. A precept is a command or an instruction that is intended to regulate behavior or thought. A precept is a command or an instruction that is intended to regulate behavior or thought. And we grow up with these precepts. What are the precepts? Look both ways before you cross the street. It's a motto. We recite it over and over and over. Why? In hopes that when we get to the street, we look both ways. I do it with my kids all the time. Guys, slow down. Look both ways. Right? What am I doing? I'm hoping that this motto does something to their behavior. We use another one. Think before you speak. Right? If it's a good motto, a lot of times we will just instead of like letting the words fly out, hold back a little bit, reflect, and then say it. And a lot of times we'll save ourselves from unnecessary headache. So the Lord responds to the devil not with power, but with precepts from Scripture. Right? So what are his precepts from Scripture? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he's saying, I don't need this bread to live. What I need is union with the Father. Right? I don't need to throw myself down. Why? Because I don't need to tempt the Lord. I don't need all these possessions. Why? Because I'm going to worship God, and only Him will I worship. To every temptation for which he was being provoked, he responds with a precept of Scripture. And that precept of Scripture regulated his behavior. I don't need to make bread. I don't need to throw myself down, and I don't need to get all these possessions. This is the power of Scripture. This is the power of Scripture. This is why we need to dive into Scripture. Right? Each one of these precepts challenges us to reflect on them and then allow them to govern our actions. So in offering these precepts, rather than his power, the Lord dealt meekfully. He dealt with the devil in meekness. Right? Another one of these words. We tend to equate meekness with weakness. One, it rhymes. And two, when you think of like somebody who's meek, like you're like, okay, he's a wimp. Right? But meekness has nothing to do with being a wimp. The Lord wasn't a wimp by any stretch of the imagination. Meekness is controlled strength. Dealing with meekness is controlling your strength. Right? The Lord gave us a template on how to deal with those who provoke us. And he said, I want you to deal with them meekly. Okay? With meekness. When we're provoked, we can go to great lengths to get even. We can, you know, conjure up these ideas on how to seek revenge. We can do a lot of different things when we're provoked, when we're injured. But the Lord challenges us to conduct ourselves with meekness. Let's look at what St. Basil the Great said. But the Lord endured the devil's opposition, and he answered him with nothing except words of meekness. He put up with one he could have punished, so that this might all the more rebound to his praise. He overcame his enemy not by destroying him, but by suffering him for a while. Right? He overcame his enemy not by destroying him, by suffering him for a while. When we're provoked, we often think that we can overcome the situation with the kind of mounting up an attack, to being strong, to pushing our way, to being loud, to being even revengeful. Right? We think that's how we overcome. More often than not, that only leaves us with more problems than in the first place. So the Lord challenges us to suffer with those who provoke us, to endure with them. It's how he overcame the devil. He gave us the template. He didn't say yes on how to defeat the devil. He gave us a template. You guard yourself and you know, empower yourself with the precepts of Scripture, and then you endure. So Scripture is full of precepts for us, right? We need to engage these precepts to temper when we are provoked, to temper ourselves when we're provoked, right? When we're in these conversations that are so heated and you feel like, oh, this other person is lying, right? Or this different group believes in a lie. What do? We turn back to the precepts of Scripture. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? We know that something fishy is happening behind our backs with a certain group or a certain individual. And we want to just expose it all. What do the precepts of Scripture tell us? All things will be brought to the light. You don't need to do it. I will bring it up. I will let it surface. Right? We look out in society and we're like, look at the way that this world responds to Christ. Look at the way they trash his name or make fun of our faith. I just want to give it to them. Precepts of Scripture say, one day every knee will bow. Really irritated with mom and dad? Scripture says, honor your parents. Okay? Bothered by your kid? Scripture says, don't provoke your child. All right? There's so many precepts in Scripture that when we study Scripture, they slowly work their way into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds. And these precepts of Scripture should help us regulate our response. They should temper our responses. When we feel provoked, instead of taking matters into our own hands and trying to flex our own muscles, which are all comparatively weak, right? Turn to the precepts of Scripture. This is why we push each other to dive into Scripture, right? Because in them are the precepts that help us govern the way that we live. And when we don't spend time in Scripture, how do we learn the precepts? How do we learn these insightful truths that God has given to us that helps govern our lives? We don't. We don't learn them if we don't take time in Scripture. Right? This is why we make an emphasis, and I push people, attend Bible study. Right? Even if you're not attending this Bible study on Wednesday nights, I want you to attend a Bible study. Why? Because we need to equip ourselves for being provoked in society, for being provoked in our relationships. And we need to respond, not with our anger, not with our power or might, but we need to respond with the precepts of Scripture. So challenge yourselves. Right? To be in Scripture, to read, to meditate on it, to kind of like, you got to read, and you may read for like a week, may read every day, nothing. Okay, don't worry. Keep on reading. Be in Scripture. And then the one precept you need will stick out. God will highlight it for you in a way. Don't worry, none of us can take a new precept every day. We don't have the capacity to know them all. We don't need a new precept every day to kind of take in, understand, and let it govern the way that we live. What we need are a couple key precepts that really apply to me, that help me govern the way I live and govern all the different ways that I'm provoked in life. We just need a few, right? You talk to people who are very, very successful. You're like, what's your secret? They'll give you one line, right? It's a precept that they have used to help govern what they do. You don't need many precepts. You just need a couple. But we have to be consistent in Scripture in order to find them. Find the ones that are appropriate for me. Scripture is littered with them, but we need to go digging for them. And it's out of our consistent rhythm of learning, of being in Scripture, of having it explained to us, but also wrestling with it ourselves. This is the process. It's not an overnight thing, which is why we always need to be working towards consistency in Scripture. And consistency is unique to every person, right? One person is 5 days a week, one person is 1 day a week, one person is 3 days a week, doesn't matter. The point is, when we look at your schedule, it should be week to week to week, should look the same. That's what's important for you. And when we have consistency, that leads to growth. But the Lord showed us how to deal with being provoked. We need to deal with meekness. And meekness is not weakness. Meekness is controlled strength. And we find that controlled strength through the precepts in Scripture, which remind us of God's hand working in this world. And saves me from making a lot of mistakes, from being reactive to the different things that bother me. So in our time, minute of silence, want you to ask God to help you find these precepts. But if you have a precept, bring it to your mind and meditate on it. Refresh it to yourself. Recite it to yourself. Let it be a powerful guide for how you choose to live. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.